From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's broadcast, we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Precious Things. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 33 and verse 13. And of Joseph he said, Blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath. We may be rich in such things as Joseph obtained, and we may have them in a higher sense. Oh, for the precious things of heaven! Power with God and the manifestation of power from God are most precious. We would enjoy the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the glory of our God, the benediction of the three divine persons in love and grace and fellowship we prize beyond the most fine gold. The things of earth are as nothing in preciousness compared with the things of heaven. The dew. How precious is this! How we pray and praise when we have the dew! What refreshing, what growth, what perfume, what life there is in us when the dew is about! Above all things else, as plants of the Lord's own right hand planting, we need the dew of His Holy Spirit. The deep that coucheth beneath. Surely this refers to that unseen ocean underground which supplies all the fresh springs which make glad the earth. Oh, to tap the eternal fountains! This is an unspeakable boon. Let no believer rest till he possesses it. The all-sufficiency of Jehovah is ours forever. Let us resort to it now. If you have been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Knowing, Reckoning, and Yielding. The text is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 14. In the previous chapter, Paul had been rejoicing in God's superabounding grace. However, he was soon assailed by those who claimed that since they were under grace, they could live as they pleased, that God would be glorified by showing grace to their sin. Paul responded to such perversions of the gospel with a most emphatic, God forbid, or certainly not. The Bible does not give anybody a pretext for sin, nor does it give support to those who claim sinless perfection. Over and over in this chapter, Paul uses the expression, know ye not? It is as believers think through the gospel and its implications that they arrive at full assurance of faith. The knowledge that the problem of sin has been dealt with by Christ on the cross frees the Christian from doubts and fears, allowing him to live in the joy of salvation. We at Let the Bible Speak pray that at this Christmas season your heart will rejoice in the truth of God manifest in the flesh. Our prayer is that you may know God's salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, God's unspeakable gift. Now, Dr. Cairns continues this message, knowing, reckoning, and yielding.
There's a difference between a preacher who preaches biblical holiness and the, quote, holiness movement, and the holiness preachers within the movement. There's a certain kind of holiness preacher who uses Romans chapter 6 to call people to seek to get rid of the old man. To get the old man on the cross. To get the old man crucified. So that the body of sin will be utterly destroyed. And they mean, get the old man on the cross. Crucify your old man. And then, by that one act, you're going to enter in to a life of sinless perfection and utter and complete victory. You're going to be brought into a day. It's a little bit like the day that David described And he was speaking of something entirely different. He was right and these folk are wrong. It's a morning without clouds. It's a cloudless, blue, heavenly sky. You wake up every morning, you go through every day. Whatever situation and circumstance, you're above it. As I said last week, you're like the corpse. You're dead to every impulse, every provocation, every experience of sin. Just as the corpse and cannot respond whether you poke it or prod it, curse it or bless it. So you've reached this blessed state of absolute victory. And this is the experience you're supposed to have. Now I have to confess it sounds very scriptural at one level, because it's using some words that Paul uses. But the reality is that it's a gross misuse of Paul's words. It gives to Paul's words a meaning that he never intended and that cannot stand up to scrutiny within the context of what he's writing here in the book of Romans. Let me point this out to you. It takes what Paul says happened once and for all in the past. We died to sin. This is a description that's true of all believers. It takes something that he says happened in the past once and for all to all believers, and it makes it a later blessing to be enjoyed by some believers dependent on the superior exercise and vigor of their faith and obedience. Now, if I take what Paul says happened in the past, once and for all, to every believer, and I hold it out to you as something that is to be pursued for now and for the future for some believers, I'm perverting what Paul says. To put it another way, this kind of holiness preaching takes the accomplished fact, the reality of justification, and it makes it into the possibility of sanctification. It takes words that Paul uses to describe our justification, and it divorces them from that context and makes them describe our possible sanctification. Now this is confusion, and this is a tragedy. Tonight what I want to do is, Dr. Barrett would love to be here to hear me say this. I'm going to slow up a little. I have been speeding up. You mightn't have thought so, but I actually was speeding up through Romans. And I'm going to take a little longer than I had anticipated in Romans 6. And tonight I just want to take the second then in a brief series through Romans 6. Because we're going to try and cut through all the confusion, try to show you how being justified is the guarantee of true holiness of life, and how it provides the motivation and the power to experience true holiness of life. Tonight what I want to do is to take an overview of verses 3 to 14. And what I want to do is just to focus on three key terms, three key words. And then, as the Lord helps in the weeks to come, we're going to go back over that section and take it section by section. Because you'll find that Paul is answering this question. And never forget, he's constantly dealing with the security and the assurance of the believer in doing so. This question, this objection, grace that gives you the certainty of eternal life, because of what Christ did, and you never need to worry about what you do to get you to heaven. That kind of grace is a license to sin. He's saying, no, 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 it's not. And through this chapter, he gives you many reasons, and we're going to look at those in due course. But for the moment, we're just going to take an overview of the first half of the chapter. There are three key terms, and you will, I hope, have recognized them as we have gone through the reading. The first is the word know, K-N-O-W, know. The second is the word reckon, And the third is the word yield. Tonight I want us to consider knowing, reckoning, and yielding. Now the order is vital. Knowledge, that is knowing, seeing, realizing, grasping by personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing is fundamental to all that follows. I want you to understand this. The only people who have an answer to sin in this world are those who have received the gospel and have been justified by grace through faith in Christ. They're the only people who have an answer to sin. People have tried every conceivable answer to sin. You've got the libertine. He ignores it, denies it, or simply sets out to enjoy it. You've got the hermit, who will take himself, the word hermit is the term of the word eremite, which comes from the Greek word for desert. And the hermit originally was a person who took himself off into the desert, cut himself off from all the stimulations of daily life. He wouldn't be in contact with sinful people, the circumstances that would stir the lusts of the flesh. And he was trying to deal with sin. Of course, it failed. You see, there's only one way to deal with sin. That's God's way. Oh, I want you to understand that. We're here a little while, and soon we'll be gone. Do you realize the religion or the lack of religion that you're living with is something, unless God saves you, you're going to have to die with? Has it really dealt with sin? Has it really established you in a right standing with God? Listen, there's only one person in the world who can deal with sin, its guilt, its penalty, its condemnation, its reign in the life, its tyranny. There's only one kind of person in the world, and that is the man or the woman who's justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Makes it absolutely imperative, therefore, that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. But the only way for believers to grasp how they may experience the joy and the power of true holiness. And notice I speak of joy and power. And let every Christian realize this, and let every young Christian realize this. Yes, let every person realize this. Sin never brings joy. Oh, it can bring a stimulation of the flesh. It can give a thrill. It can bring excitement. But it is like the morning dew, and it will disappear. There's only one thing that brings joy, and that is to be in a right relationship with God. Christian, there is joy in true holiness. And there's power in true holiness. You're not stumbling through life a victim when you're living in the holiness of the gospel. But the only way for Christians to grasp how they may actually experience the joy and the power of true holiness is to understand the gospel, and especially the truth that sanctification is the fruit of justification. See, the trouble is that most people believe or act as if they believe, and most preachers preach as if it were true, that you're justified by faith alone. And then that's passed, and now you get sanctified in a totally different way. There are people of every theological camp make that mistake. I remember reading from one of the leading Reformed theologians of the last century, the 20th century, here in America. And his journal stated it boldly, "You're justified by grace." You're justified by faith. You're sanctified by law. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? Your sanctification will fulfill the law, but you're justified, and you're sanctified by grace through faith, and your sanctification grows out of your justification. And that's what Romans 6, 3 through 14 is all about, and I hope it will make it clear. Now, these three words that I have highlighted will show us that the key to experiencing a yielded life is to understand and take our stand on the truth of our justification in union with Jesus Christ. Now let's take the word know, for that's the doctrinal, or as you Americans will mispronounce the word, doctrinal. Sounds abominable to me, but anyway, that's the doctrinal foundation of the whole Christian life. Know. I want you to see how it starts. Verse 3. Know ye not. Verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is or was crucified with him. Verse 9. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. And if you go into the second half of the chapter and on into the seventh chapter, you'll find he continues using the same wording. He's talking about knowing. Now let's start right where Paul starts. Know that all who are in Christ were once and for all brought into union with his death. That's the meaning of verse 3. Now, I'm just going to make a blanket statement tonight as we look at verse 3. And we'll get back to this in due course. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Forget about baptismal fonts. Forget about baptismal tanks. Forget about baptismal water. Paul is not talking about water baptism of any kind here at all. This baptism into Christ is our being united with Christ. It is being put into Christ. And he's saying, when you are put into Christ, you are united with him in his death. In the words of verse 2, we died unto sin in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't take the time to repeat all that I said last week. What Paul is saying is that legally, Christ and his people are one before God. He died unto sin, as verse 10 tells us. And upon our believing in him, his death is reckoned to our account. In other words, believers receive all the benefits of Christ's death as if they personally had satisfied God's law. That's what Paul is saying. And therefore they are delivered from sin's guilt, sin's penalty, and sin's reign and its very realm. Now this is the first thing you've got to know. In other words, Paul says, know that you're justified. Know what it means to be justified. He says, do you not know this? Actually, the Greek text says, are you ignorant of this? The question is asked with surprise, are you really ignorant of this? Can it be that Christians are ignorant of something so fundamental as this? Now I want to tell you, if Paul was surprised that the fairly new converts in Rome might possibly be ignorant of this, I do not know what he would say if he were to visit 99% of Christians in most of the churches of America today. Because if he came to most Christians saying, are you ignorant of what it really means to be justified? They would have to hang their head and say with shame, yes, we're ignorant of it.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.